poem by Mark Green from his Christmas anthology called Adventure. And the poem is entitled Kings. We were not three and not kings, at least not when we arrived. And really more curious than wise, craning for truth in starlit skies, but at least looking, at least checking what we thought we knew, a king born for the Jews. No, we were not wise, more stupid than wise, asking another king to point us to a rival's cradle, but at least asking and finding truth in the old scroll. Truth a murderer would not recognise, but wary to ply us with winsome lies and play a deferential role. No, we were not wise, more blind than wise, searching for a king for someone else, but at least searching and finding in someone else's king our end, the end of lifeless ways, the rule for all our days. Later they fancied us kings, in that there was only this truth: he who would wear a crown must first bow low, must first bow down. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we consider the Christ child, let us come too to worship and bow down as these strangers from the East did. In Jesus' name, Amen. Well, it's been a difficult week for Donald Trump, with the book Fire and Fury published, containing revelations about the first year of his presidency and the goings-on in the White House. Another leader in a different time and a different place was also having a difficult week, as strangers turn up asking, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" This was political dynamite, just like Michael Wolff's book. Today, the affairs of Washington reverberate around the world. On the face of it, what did it matter, these strangers from the East turning up in Jerusalem, an out-of-the-way corner of the Roman Empire? The whole of Jerusalem was bothered by this, for they recalled the prophet Micah, who had said that a king would be born in Bethlehem, only a few miles away. It bothered King Herod, for there was some doubt to his Jewishness. Folk were not really sure he should be king, and he was a puppet king under the hated Romans. For him, that's Herod, it was about survival, and survival of his dynasty. It was those words of the prophet that says, "Out of Bethlehem will come a ruler who will shepherd God's people Israel." Another time, another place, Herod might have been tempted to refute this on Twitter, but it seems his response was far more sinister, as he sends the strangers to Bethlehem to find this child and report back that he might too go and worship him. So did it matter, this visit by the three strangers? Well, if there were three. Well, if we are to believe another prophet, Isaiah, then it does. For much of his prophecy speaks of this child who is to be born King of the Jews, for he refers to him as the fulfillment of Israel's call to be a light to the Gentiles. In other words, to not only Israel, but to the rest of the world. Matthew's gospel is often thought to be written for the benefit of Jewish believers. But here, right at the beginning, he writes of strangers, Gentiles, who turn up in Jerusalem as the result of seeing a new light in the night sky, a star that leads them to the one who is to be a light to the world. Many have wondered what that light was. Astronomers tell us that in 7 BC, around the time Jesus was born, the planets Jupiter and Saturn were in conjunction three times. For Jupiter has often been seen as signifying royalty, and Saturn has also often been linked with the Jews. Could our strangers have worked this out? So this visit by the strangers did matter. Within 60 to 70 years, we find a Jewish rabbi writing a letter to groups of followers of a man who the strangers came to visit as a child. Groups of this man's followers in Ephesus, a Greek city on the modern coast of, on the coast of modern Turkey, far from Bethlehem and far from Jerusalem. This Jewish rabbi, Paul, was also a follower and was in prison in Rome. And in our reading from that letter this morning, we see that Paul says he is in prison because of these Gentiles that he is writing to. It seems that this was a circular letter, and that some of them may not have realized his special calling to spread the good news of Jesus around the non-Jewish or Gentile world. News that was still a threat to those in power and is still a threat to many in power today. He says he doesn't deserve this enormous privilege, but by God's grace he's been called. He speaks about being called to share his insight into the mystery of Christ. And he speaks of being given the grace to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Well, Paul says that this mystery about Jesus appears not to have been made known to men in previous generations, but now it is. That Gentiles together with Israel are to be members of one body, the body of Christ, to all share in all the promises of God. And Paul has already made this abundantly clear in what he said before in chapter 2. He speaks of Jew and Gentile becoming the one new man in Christ. He speaks of barriers coming down. He speaks of peace and reconciliation with God through the cross. Mandy and I have seen the literal truth of this for ourselves in the work of reconciliation between Messianic Jewish believers in Jesus and Arab Christians in Israel and the West Bank. And we hope to see how this has grown in the past 9 years, when we hope to go back in April. Paul goes on to say to the Ephesians that by God's grace he was to preach. Hang on, I think I may have got myself in a muddle here. Yeah. Here we are, turned over a page. Yes, at the beginning of this new year, at the beginning of 2018, when we see so much division between people around the world, demonstrations of forgiveness, reconciliation and unity in the Spirit amongst the followers of Jesus, the body of Christ, will be a sign of hope in a world that needs it so badly. And that is why I believe passionately that working on forgiving others and asking for the grace to forgive in our own lives is so important. Some of you have heard enough of me talking about forgiveness. But to those who haven't, make a point of going to the church website and listening to the talks. Not because I gave them, but because practicing forgiveness is so important, both for our own individual lives and for our lives together here as a fellowship. For it speaks too of this mystery that Paul shares in his letter. For people's testimonies of forgiveness amaze and mystify, whether it's about God's forgiveness for them or their forgiveness of others. During November, on the Today programme, Frank Gardner, the BBC security correspondent, who was shot in Saudi Arabia some years ago and now in a wheelchair, was interviewing Coptic Christians in Egypt, suffering much persecution at the hands of Islamists. He was astounded at the love for their persecutors, despite their fears. And the forgiveness of one man who had lost his daughter and granddaughter at the hands of Islamist terrorists, and who now spent more time in the church in prayer and worship. For Frank, this was a real challenge, for he was amazed and mystified as he said he could not forgive the man who had shot him. Well, we've just been through Christmas again and heard the mystery of the baby born in a manger, and the visit of the angels and the shepherds. After 2,000 years, it is still something of a mystery that in Matthew's Gospel, it is these Gentile strangers that so little is known about who enter the Jewish capital and ask, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" who say they have come to worship him. This morning, as we come up to communion, may we come in worship too, as we hear those mysterious and wonderful words, "The body of Christ, broken and given for you in love." Well, Paul goes on to say to the Ephesians that by God's grace, he was to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make plain the mystery that has been kept hidden until now. So what are these unsearchable riches or wealth that is too large to count? Our strangers are certainly not without wealth to have travelled from probably Persia, bringing gifts that are worthy for a king or even a god. Gifts that for a poor teenage girl and a poor Galilean carpenter would have been out of this world. It is no wonder that Mary pondered all these things in her heart. What happened to those gifts, we don't know, but maybe they helped fund their escape from Herod's murderous intentions and then their life down in Egypt until it was safe to return to Nazareth. Such is the grace and wonder of God's provision. And maybe it would help to ponder in our hearts too these gifts, these unsearchable riches. For these gifts speak of who the child is and of him as God's gift to us, riches that are too great to count. Gold tells us that he is a king, not just king of the Jews, but king of kings. Incense tells us that he is divine, that this child is the Son of the Most High, our great high priest, as the writer to the Hebrews describes him, the one who has made the sacrifice, paid the price, the punishment for our sin by his own death, once and for all eternity. Myrrh speaks of his humanity, his suffering and death and self-sacrifice. But what can that mean to us now and how we live our lives as we enter the new year? The gift of gold tells us that the child is not just the King of the Jews then, and not just the King of Kings when he comes again, but is King of Kings now. King of Kings now. Jesus starts his ministry by declaring, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." His kingdom is all around us now. Where he is, where his rule is in the hearts and lives of those who believe. It's a kingdom of justice, peace, and joy. A kingdom open to all who will put their faith and trust in Jesus, the King of Kings. In fact, Paul says in the last verse in our reading from Ephesians that those who do put their faith in him can approach God in freedom and confidence. So as we enter 2018 and look back to the past year, which may have had its worry and difficulty, as well as for some tragedy and despair, can we not see where the King of Kings has reigned and his providential care? His providential care evident even in the smallest of things. This morning, as you come to worship him in bread and wine, come with thankful hearts. Come thankful for his sovereign care and purpose this past year. And continue to make thankfulness a priority in 2018, allowing him to become more the king of our hearts and minds. The psalmist calls us to declare his loving kindness in the morning and his faithfulness every night. What is it that we can do in 2018 to declare the loving kindness and the faithfulness of the King of Kings in our lives and in our dealings with others in a world that so sorely needs to know? The gift of incense speaks of prayer and worship. The strangers may have sensed that the sign in the night sky portends something divinely significant. And Matthew says that when they found the child, they bowed down and worshipped him. What is our prayer life like as we enter 2018? How important is worship to us? Is it a chore or a joy? The strangers travel across a desert to come and find him, to come and worship him. How far are we willing to go to get to know him and to worship him? What about reading your Bible more in 2018? Or would it help to be part of a house group? The child that they worship is the Son of the Most High, our great High Priest. But the Apostle Peter reminds us that we too, the body of Christ, are a royal priesthood. We are the King's priests. Those that pray for those inside and outside his kingdom. Those that stand before his throne and pray for those things that the Spirit of God puts on our hearts. How are we going to do that in 2018? Just a little thing for me. I just bought a little W.H. Smith's Page a Day diary to help. That's something new for me. The gift of myrrh speaks of Jesus' humanity. He lived, died, and suffered as many of us might have done then. But in these respects, it was different. For he lived a life that was fully human as God his Father intended. A life lived fully in the image of his Father as we were all created for. He dies the death of a criminal on a cross with criminals either side after suffering rejection, betrayal and humiliation. But God raises him from the dead and all that he said and done is vindicated. He truly is King of Kings, even though his crown is one of thorns and his throne a cross. And as we come to communion this morning, we worship him as we take the wine and the words are said, his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. So how are we going to take this gift into 2018 and into our lives? Jesus, when he speaks of his death to his disciples, says that any who would follow him should also deny himself and take up his cross. For if we're to find full abundant life, to be part of his kingdom, then we need to be prepared to lose it. What things might the Spirit of God be telling us as we enter 2018? What selfishness? What pride we need to turn from? What are we fearful of? Why are we resisting him? What is stopping ourselves from abandoning ourselves to him? Who needs our time, our love, our care? How can we be more the people God created us to be? How can we reflect the image in which we're created in our lives? Paul, in his letter, prays for the Ephesian believers, and it has a line in that prayer. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Here is the promise of help for us in the challenges we face in our walk in 2018. This gold, incense, and myrrh point to, as Paul says, the unsearchable riches of Christ, of who he is and what he can mean to us. I've thrown out some challenges of what this might mean for us and how it might impact our lives in this new year. And it all might have sounded a bit heavy going. But to quote the Apostle John, this child comes that we might have life and have it to the full. And at the heart of this abundant life, at the heart of it, is joy. For Matthew tells us that when the strangers left Herod, they saw the star again, and it rested over the place where the child was, and they were overjoyed. And Luke tells us that the angel tells the shepherds that his news is one of great joy. So let us make 2018 one of joy as we reflect on the wonderful gift that has been given to us in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Let us take this opportunity at the start of the new year to be able to declare our faith, our Christmas faith, our New Year faith, our eternal faith, in the words of the Nicene Creed. Would you please stand? And so we say together, we believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is.